Accession number 19047, Reel 3.
Right, so that's Frank Brody, and it's Reel 3. We were in the Reichswald, Frank, weren't we? And we were tending to mix up a little bit, the Reichswald and the Ardennes, weren't we? We've discovered. Because we've established that you remembered that the Ardennes, in fact, was very snowy and white and cold, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you have any special clothing? That's in the Ardennes, because it was cold there, wasn't it?
No.
No special clothing?
No. Yeah. No, none whatsoever.
Hmm. So you just had your normal, whatever it was, a uniform?
Yeah.
Something.
And a leather jerkin.
Yeah. But you can't remember specifically any of the fighting that was going on there?
No.
Frank, can you?
No.
So that was December, and it lasted for a few days. But I think you spent your Christmas there and your New Year there.
Oh.
In the Ardennes, because it was over that period.
Yeah.
But that doesn't. You don't recall much of that.
No, I don't. No. We just dug in and.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you went from there. We know that in January you went back to Helmond, which is where. Because the book tells us that the history of the regiment, the battalion, tells us that 250 or 260 people, replacements, joined you at that stage.
Yeah.
So you must have suffered a lot of casualties in the immediate prior period, Ardennes, and just prior to that. But this was the build-up to the battle, the attack on the Reichswald Forest.
Yeah.
Can you remember much about that period, Frank?
Not a lot, really. No, not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the weather we know at that time in February was rainy.
Wet.
And wet. And you had this attack through the forest, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember any gun lines or shelling that happened at that stage?
Going through the forest, we got heavily shelled. I don't know what the but I got to a load of shells came over one day, and as I said, when they hit the tree tops, they exploded.
Yeah.
And I got floored with a piece of shrapnel and a heavy coat on, and this leather jerkin underneath of me, this piece of shrapnel floored me.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that I was so wet that it didn't actually go through.
Yes. And it was a shrapnel rather than a piece of tree.
Oh, it was a shrapnel. It was shrapnel, yeah. I got it out from under my coat. It was a piece of about that wide.
About 2 or 3 inches wide.
Yeah. And it must have hit me flat. Yeah. It just floored me.
And you were actually in the forest then, were you?
Yes.
In the Reichswald.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about there? You know, you were going through in a carrier, presumably, were you?
Yes. Yeah.
On a road or on a track or?
Well, it was just some old track.
Yeah.
Whether it had been ploughed up with tanks and what before us, I don't know, but it was about 2 or 3 foot deep in mud.
Yeah, this is where the mud was.
Yeah.
Because earlier we were thinking that was in the Ardennes, but it was probably here, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're in
Reichswald. Yeah. Did you see any action, any fighting in there, or
no,
did you need to set a gun
up? No. I think it were mainly infantry fighting.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was mainly infantry fighting. We did put our guns down light, but we never had occasion to use them.
Yeah. And you were in that forest for 4 or 5 days, I think.
Somewhat like that time.
Yeah. Which was, that takes you up to about the getting on toward the end of February, or middle or end of February. I think you went in the forest February the 8th, and you were in there for until about the 13th, 14th, middle of February, something like that, you were in there for. Because when you I don't know whether you realise it, but when you went into that forest, you actually went into Germany for the first time.
That's right.
Were you aware of that?
No, we wasn't, no.
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 Nobody said anything?
No, nobody said anything at all about it. They just get on with it, like, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And after the forest, any ideas, any thoughts about where you may have been?
I seem to remember landing up in a village called Scharnhorst.
Mm-hmm.
Did that come into the...
It's not a name that I can remember.
I haven't got mixed up with name, but it was a village what we got into, we came into.
Mm.
And we moved off from there down this main road. And we came to a point where we split up.
Mm.
And Johnny went to right and I went to left. We were a farm on the right hand side of us.
Mm.
It ran going down into a valley, if you will.
Mm.
A bit of a forested front on us. And at that point in time, we had a Tiger tank in front on us, which opened up.
Mm.
And as I struck off down to the left, this tank must have been following us. It were firing at us as we were going. But somehow we couldn't get gun down low enough. They were just going over top on us with shells. And we got to the farm, dropped the gun, and dropped into action. And opened up on this tank. But they were just like firing round the side of a building.
Mm.
At us. And all we could see was the left-hand side of the turret and a bit of track below. And when we were firing at him, it just seemed to be bouncing off.
You were hitting it?
Oh, yes, we were hitting it.
How far would you have been away?
800 yards.
800?
Yeah.
And is that an easy target, 800 yards?
Well, we were hitting it.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about that. At that point in time, I were in charge at Gunlight,
mm.
A sergeant. And I were directing fire onto it, and I were watching it through binoculars, and I were watching it hit. And tracer flying off.
What were you firing? Solid shot? Or?
Solid. Well, we had to do. It were no good firing HE at it. Right. We had HE, but we didn't use it.
Mm.
And I had about 6 or 7 rounds, and he backed off. Went off.
You didn't see the turret turn round, so they tried to locate you?
No.
No.
They were firing at us.
All right.
We were at the side of a big barn,
mm.
and they were hitting the gable end of the barn,
mm.
and all the stones and whatever were coming out, they were falling onto us.
Mm.
Coping stones off roof and everything.
Mm.
Mm. We were getting showered with all this stuff off it. And later on, when this action was all over, we went into that building, and just inside there were a load of ammunition, shells, you name it, everything piled up inside.
Really?
If it had gone through, we'd have been a heck of a mess.
Absolutely, yeah.
And well, after that episode, we crossed the Rhine.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Scharnhorst, you said village, but
yeah.
the nearest I can think of a place like that was there was a bridge area there.
Yeah.
Around that time called Schadendorf or something. It was a bridge area.
Oh, that'll be it.
Farming community, Russian farms as well. But that would have been around March of 45. And yes, you're right, because you crossed the Rhine about March 27th, something like that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I know it were a very similar name to what it stuck in my mind. It were one of the few names that were ever mentioned.
Yeah. Well, there was a bridge called Schadendorf Bridge, which was near a town called Wies, W-E-Z-E is the name of the
town. It wasn't a big place.
No, no.
It was a small village.
It could have been there. That action you just described there could have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Rhine and crossing the Rhine.
that was an experience in itself. I had this young recruit with me driving.
Is this the one that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. That came back with me.
Yeah.
And we were going down this field. It was downhill. And bridge, pontoon bridge, were in front of us. But there were tapes down each side of us. And every so far, there were a pile of mines. Teller mines, big ones. With tapes round them.
On the bridge?
No, on the road, on this track side, what we were going down towards the bridge.
Yeah.
Now I'm watching, there's Spitfires, not Spit, Messerschmitts, bombing and strafing over bridge like as we were crossing. And I'm watching what's going on. And this lad is going down this track, and next thing I see this tape being dragged up. And I look round. And he's heading straight for this pile of mines.
Goodness me.
For God's sake, son, I grabbed over the steering wheel and pulled him away. Or else we'd have been piling up over top of these.
What was he doing? Not concentrating or?
I don't know. It were all this action that were going on, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be scared. He weren't on his own, like, you know.
Yeah.
You're heading for this damn pontoon bridge and these bloody things are diving at you all the time. And all he could see is this bloke directing, move as fast as you can across, get across as fast as you can.
Because they may have been trying to blow this bridge or something.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Stop you crossing the river.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they were doing, exactly.
Yeah.
And they weren't just one or two, there were a few of these planes buzzing round. Anyway, we got across it, thank God.
How wide was the river there, can you remember?
Oh, hell of a wind.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Rhine?
But this is when you're crossing the Rhine.
Yeah.
And I think the Rhine is quite a wide
river. Oh,
it
was, aye.
Yeah.
I think I should imagine it were a couple hundred feet or more.
Yeah. Do you remember seeing any paratroopers or gliders going over at that stage?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
No.
Never saw any of them.
Okay.
No.
Okay. It's just that just prior to crossing the Rhine, there were some quite big airborne drops on the other side of the Rhine.
Oh.
And I just wondered whether you saw them when you went over.
No. No.
So that was March. You now crossed the Rhine, and you're well in Germany now, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's only two or three months to go, actually, to the end of the war.
Yeah.
But can you remember this period and what was happening during this period and what?
Well, it were all go at the time. We were mobile most of the time.
Yeah, moving quite fast.
Yeah, right. We was moving very fast at the time, and we finished up in Hamburg, didn't we?
Eventually.
Yeah, we finished up in Hamburg.
But just prior to that, I mean, there are some places that I could mention, that the book mentions. There's a place called Bockholtz, which in fact is where Joe Settry was wounded.
Oh, was it?
In Bockholtz. You had a couple of river crossings.
Yeah.
There were some canals that you had to cross as well at that stage. One of the rivers you crossed was the Aller. Another one was called the Weser. And there was a canal crossing. It may have been Ems-Weser Canal or something of that stage.
Oh.
But these things that may have sort of stuck out in your mind, these river crossings and so on. Do you remember anything of those and what was happening?
No, I don't, actually. No, I don't. It's all one blur. We just go, it was at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did mention earlier about something that happened on the Aller.
Oh, the boat tipping over on the crossing.
Yeah.
Well, we pulled down to this river. It were the rifle companies that were crossing. And they put one rope across, and then they got this other rope across. These collapsible boats that they had, they were so wide, weren't they?
Yeah, you're showing about 5 foot there, aren't
you? About five foot wide, yeah. I should think. Yeah. And they had one of these in the water. Well, they put the blokes, about half a dozen blokes, get in this, and they were supposed to pull the cell across with the rope. Mm. Anyway, when they set off, they hit the current, it was quite a fast river. They hit this current, and the boat hit the rope, and it just rolled it over.
Tipped.
Lot on them gone. There were nothing we could do to help them. No. They were just weighted down with ammunition and lot, like.
Yeah.
They just went.
Yeah.
So they decided then to leave one rope, and they managed to get across with that one rope. And when the second boat load, I went across with them. And when we got to the other side, they had about half a dozen or eight Germans sat in ape.
Hmm.
And they said, will you shift these out? Put them in the boat, right, get it across. And let them take the cell across.
Yeah. But it seems they'd learned a lesson there, because they had ropes across the river.
Yeah. That's right.
Which they didn't have at Malton.
No. No, they didn't. No, there were no ropes. No boats. Nothing.
No boat. No.
Well, even if they'd had ropes across, it would have helped.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. But it was the current, presumably, that turned this boat over.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, it just hit this rope on one side. Yeah. Of course, it had a lip round it.
Mm.
Timber lip round it. They were canvas, these things, weren't they? And when they were out at water, they just collapsed flat.
Yes.
Well, you pull left sides up and pull some pieces of timber up, and he held them up.
Gadget to make the sides rigid.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this lip were about as 4 or 5 inches wide, timber that went round top.
Yeah.
Well, that it rested on rope, and it just rolled under.
Yeah.
Rope,
yeah.
It bought.
Yeah.
Didn't know. Well, one of the lads grabbed out at rope as it, and he were there quite a while before he could get out, before he let go.
Yeah.
And nobody could do out to help him.
No. Well, we've got an exact date for that, because that happened on April the 12th.
Did it?
April the 12th of 45. So this is pretty late in the war now.
Yeah.
And there were some villages around there just after that river crossing on April the 12th. There was some village fighting.
Yes.
Can you recall that?
No.
That?
With being on anti-tank guns, I didn't see a lot of that.
Right. And there weren't many tanks, many German tanks around.
Oh, no, there wasn't then.
At that stage.
No.
The war progresses, because then that takes you through getting on now maybe to the end of April. And you finished up, you just said, in Hamburg.
Hamburg, yeah.
In Hamburg. Can you remember much of what happened going in and that day?
Well, there were a few civilians about, just stood watching. And we just sailed through. And we got into the centre of Hamburg, and we found a big police barracks. Well, we went into this police barracks. And I walked into this, they were big barrack rooms, if you will. And I walked into this, and each side of the room there's these Germans, supposedly police.
Mm.
And the one on the right hand side on me jumps up and gets Elsler, Hitler job, like, you know, and everybody jumped to attention. I turned round and kicked him in bloody shin. And I thought, oh, this is no good. Anyway, I looked at them, and they were all armed. Collect all the guns off them, Lugers they had. Collected them all off them, chucked them back at wagon.
Were you told to do that?
Yeah. Said, take all the guns off them, so we did. Took all the guns and that, and 1,500 weight at door, and chucked all lot it back of this wagon, run down to it. They were like a big lake. Tipped them away into the lake. Off bridge, like, you know, in the middle of the lake.
Yeah. What did they think of that, the German police?
Oh, they didn't like it at all, one bit, no. Anyway, a bit later on, when we got settled down, we started with guard duties, and we took barracks over, like, you know. And we're getting seeing Russian soldiers knocking about. And next thing I know, I'm on guard duty. One of that lads come in, he says, there's a German out here asking you for you to go around with him. Well, what's the do? He said he seems to be thinking there's a Russian officer in his barracks, like, holding him at gunpoint, threatening to shoot him. Anyway, so I went round to this, it was round back of this block where we was. I walks in and he's right, it is a Russian officer. He has this pistol and he's threatening them all. So I walks up to him like and tried to have a conversation which were ropeless. So I just said, gimme. And I took his gun off me when I looked at this blasted thing. The rounds were in, it were like a six shooter, if you will, yeah, with cylinder.
Yeah.
And the rounds were wrapped round with paper to fit them into chambers. I thought, hellfire, if they shot anybody with that, it'd have been hard luck, wouldn't it?
Yes, you're right.
Anyway, I dragged him round to guard room with me. Gets off phone to HQ about what do I do about this. Fella like, I've got a Russian officer here and he's playing out because the sergeant's arrested him. We'll keep him there. Anyway, we tried to get on with him, like, offered him cigarettes and whatever, and he wouldn't have out to do with us at all. It were funny, it was. Next day, they took him away. I don't know what they did with him. I'm glad to sit back on him.
Had peace been declared then?
Yes. I think it had, aye.
And yeah. I mean, that was, I think, May 5th, wasn't it? I think the E-Day was May 8th, but I think it was the armistice was signed by Montgomery on the 5th of May, I think.
Yeah. All right, next thing we had to put up were all these POW displaced personnel dashing about, looting and carrying on.
Do you remember what you felt when that news came through, May the 5th, that Sir Peace had been declared in end of the war?
Not very excited, actually.
No. Relieved? Do you feel relieved?
It's finished, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, I think we got that used to being, what do they call it these days, traumatised. This is what the police get their pensions on, isn't it?
Well, it must have been, mustn't it? Because there was no thoughts of people being traumatised at that stage, was there?
No.
But
it must have, it is.
Absolutely.
It must have, not going through all that lot and...
Absolutely.
It took a lot of settling down when I come home.
Yeah. So the war was, peace was declared, Europe, May 5th, 45. How long did you stay in Hamburg?
You know, I really couldn't tell you.
Hmm.
I know we moved out of there and went to Oberhausen.
Oberhausen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went to Oberhausen with the battalion. Yeah. And that was for a period of time before eventually...
I went home.
You went home?
I went home with 26th Group.
Was that on leave or to get demobbed?
Finished.
Demobbed?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the procedure? What happens with that one?
Well, they just informed us that 26th Group were going out and I were one of them. Skogra. Bus and everything.
What is 26th Group, by the way?
Yeah.
What is 26th Group?
It were just a group. You know, they were in groups.
Called up at a certain time?
Well, I suppose I'd be on 26th Group, which would be, I think, the earliest group.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I were a pre-war soldier.
Yes. Was that anything to do with your age, when you say 26th Group?
No, it had nothing at all to do with it.
I just wonder why they call it 26th Group.
Well, I couldn't tell you, really. I think they just split them down into groups that went out over a period.
Yeah. So you come back to the UK for your demob procedure.
Yes. This wonderful suit. you can go home now, we're finished with you. No thanks, no doubt. I think they'd done me a good turn.
Gave you a hat as well, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they gave me a trilby hat, aye.
Did you ever wear the trilby hat?
No. I didn't work damn south so long.
So that was the end of the war. So then what happened? Did you go into Civvy Street, get a job?
Well, I was working at BSE in Preston.
Were you married at this stage, by the way?
Yes, I was married before I came out.
You were married before the war?
At Moulton.
At Moulton?
When we were at Moulton.
Okay.
Yeah. I was demobbed at York.
At York?
Strensel.
So you go back into Civvy Street, you start your work, war's
well,
over.
I lived over in Yorkshire for a while, and then I moved back into Lancashire, and I was working at BSE on Strand Road.
Yeah. Doing what? What was that doing?
Or in a spray shop on diesel electric.
All right. Yeah. What, trains?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How long did you do that for?
4 years.
4 years.
And then I got my papers for that blasted Korean job.
Right, so you were saying then you got called up again?
Yes.
How old were you there, Frank?
1953. From 50 to 53.
No, but how old were you at that stage when you got your papers?
I'd be in 30s.
30s. Did you expect to get your papers?
No, I didn't actually. No, the crafty buggers registered them. Wife signed for them, I wore away at time. Mrs. signed for him. I came walking in the house and wife says, there's your last monthly payment there. I said, they don't send it me by registered post. It's my bloody call-up papers.
Were they calling up all ex-regular soldiers at that stage?
Well, at that point, yes, they was. You see, at that point in time, they still had conscription, didn't they?
Yeah.
1950s. And there was a hell of a scream when this Korean job started about them drafting these lads out. So they fell back on us. And at that point in time, the day I got on the boat at Liverpool, the 1st of October 1950, I'd finished my service. Gone, finished altogether. But prior to that, I got some papers from them to sign for a second class reserve pay, which were more than what I was already getting. And I didn't sign them, I just tore them up and finished it.
I lost you a bit there when you said that when you got on that boat at Liverpool that was the end of your
reserve. Yeah.
But you were still in the army then?
Well, when I signed on for 7 and 5. 7 years regular and 5 years on reserve.
Oh, I see.
Now, when I came out of the forces, I still had 4 years to do reserve.
Got it. Yes. So your reserve period finished when you got on this boat at Liverpool?
Yeah.
You got on the boat to Liverpool to go to Korea?
Yeah. I landed up 5th of November.
So how did the army justify that one then?
I don't know. I don't know. But if I'd have known prior to it that they were going to send for me, I would have been gone. I would.
In hiding somewhere?
Yes.
Left the
country?
Because,
quite candidly, I didn't think that it was right that I should go out there to fight somebody else's bloody war. Not my attitude to it. And believe me, it was a rough bloody session. It was.
So, which unit did you go into?
Royal Ulster Rifles.
Again, infantry?
Yeah. 53rd Division, again.
Again 53rd Division?
Yeah. 53rd Independent Brigade. And it was Brigadier Brodie that was in charge of it.
Really?
Yeah.
But no relation?
No. No.
We're not an immediate relation.
Anyway. No, I don't think so.
Yes. But were you still guns on guns? Or
17-pounders.
17-pounder at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you had presumably different training for?
No, they were exactly the same thing, only bigger. That's the only difference.
Right.
We were better equipped.
Right. So because you were an ex-regular soldier,
I got
with
dragged
this reserve,
back.
You got dragged back. You were a trained infantry person anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have any extra special.
Oh no.
New training.
No. Right. It was just there's your gun. That's it.
Right. Right. So you get on this boat, November, Liverpool.
October, 1st of October, and landed Korea at 5th of November.
Yeah. Do you know, remember the name of the boats?
Something like Pride or other. What's up?
Something Pride. Where did you land in Korea?
Busan.
In South Korea?
Yeah.
Presumably.
And we went up to Seoul.
Yes.
That were just below the 38th parallel.
Yeah. 38th parallel, which became the line they drew when peace was made, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
South and north.
Yeah. So, and this was in November of 1950?
Yeah.
Did you say?